Generate is supporting my vision to improve the financial literacy of 100,000 Kiwis by sponsoring Keep the Change. Cheers, Generate. Head to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to find out more. Getting in the KiwiSaver fund that suits you and your situation is key to making sure you're maximising your investment. Generate are an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of long-term performance, and they can help you do exactly this. Their advisors can meet with you to talk about all your options when it comes to KiwiSaver to help you decide what's best for you. Too many people never get KiwiSaver advice, but not you. Go to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to book a no-obligation chat with a Generate advisor. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited. And of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns. Welcome back. You are listening to another episode of the Keep the Change podcast. And today we have a requested guest in the studio. Yeah.
Which is me.
Yeah. Which is very, very exciting. We've got healthy Kelsey across from me. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I'll tell you how this came about, right? So I saw on Instagram that they were releasing subscriptions.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I put a thing on my story saying, does anybody know anyone that uses Instagram subscriptions really successfully? And someone who follows Keep the Change messaged and was like, healthy Kelsey does. And I was like, are you sure?
I was like, hey, look
at your account. I was like, I can't see her talking about this anywhere. And they were like adamant that you do. And I was like, well, this is pretty crazy anyway. Like, what are you up to? What's going on here? And so that sort of got me intrigued. I followed you and kept an eye on you. And then someone else mentioned you and basically said, you should try and see if you can get Healthy Kelsey on the podcast. So I'm cool. Okay, that's two now. Let's do it.
That's good. That's good to know someone's talking about.
So I guess we'll start with what it is that you do, and then we'll just go in all sorts of directions.
Cool. Sounds good. What do I do? This is like, I've been traveling for a couple of years and you meet a lot of people and they ask what I do. And I'm like, what do I do? That's a great question. So I guess I'm like a food blogger would be the – I put on my – thing when I go out of the country, I put author because that's just a bit cooler.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, exactly. But kind of a bunch of different things. Yeah. But yeah, food blogging is kind of where it all started.
Okay. So how did you get into that space?
Yeah. So I almost accidentally, like 5 years ago now, I went to Camp America, which was a really epic experience. If anyone is kind of needs a little break in life and figure out what they want to do, I recommend that. And then I came back and the food at the camp is just American camp food, so not good.
Yeah.
And I don't think I realized, I was really lucky growing up that my mum was really into food and made us amazing home-cooked meals all the time, and I don't think I put like the two and two together of like how food makes you feel until I was eating crap all the time. And then I came home and was like, oh, maybe I'll get into like making some food and trying to figure out, mainly it was just for fun actually, and then the plan was to go traveling for a couple of years, avoid real life for a sec and then come back to it. And I just finished uni at this point as well.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I'll just set up an Instagram page. And then probably like 2 weeks later, COVID happened and I was like, oh no, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, now I've got all the spare time to actually be making things. So it's probably the thing that got me through like lockdowns and stuff. I actually had something to like focus on, which was really cool.
Nice. Well, Keep the Change actually started during lockdown.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah. I'd sit
There's
in
so
my
so many things that started. It's quite cool.
There's actually really cool literature and data around the things that start in a recession or in these sorts of times. So, you know, as everyone goes like inward and doom and gloom around lockdown and stuff, I saw a few people being like, it's gonna be so cool in 10 years to see what started out of this.
Yes. Because I did start doom and gloom. I was like, oh, I'm not good at anything. What am I going to do with my life? And my parents are like, righto, that's a bit dramatic.
Yeah.
But I genuinely felt it. I was like, I don't know what. Because I went to uni, did business. I actually wanted to do like something in fat, maybe like a buyer in fashion or something was the plan. But then I started this food thing and I was like, this is really cool. I can't believe people do this as a job. But I was like, I can't, like, at first I was like, there's like, it's so one in a million chance of that happening. But then I was like, well, I guess I got the spare time to do it. So it was, it was kind of like an accidental, like,
There's a few important things that I think we'll touch on. So
yeah, cool.
You looked at it and thought, you see people do this for a job. So when you look at that, is that basically like food blogging?
Yeah. I didn't even follow, like, I mean, I actually followed a couple travel influencers at the time, and I was like, oh my God, want to do that. And I was like telling my partner, I was like, if we go traveling, I'm going to set up an Instagram account and I want to do this. So I knew that that was a thing. And then it kind of led me into more influencer people. And then I don't even remember whose accounts I came across, but I was like, oh, these people were like, have cookbooks from this. But it was kind of at the point, I actually probably did it at the right time because it was before Reels, but only just before.
Yeah.
But I kind of thought like, oh, the Instagram, I should have started 5 years ago because that's when the Instagram thing was going crazy. But accidentally, it was the right time to do it. What was the question again? I'm zoned out.
You're right. I'll take you back. But just to get clear, so you started with zero followers on Instagram.
Yeah. Like
you just decided I'm going to start posting some photos and stuff about what you could
be eating. And mainly just like maybe like inspiration for lockdown. I was like, I want people to feel good over this time, like as crappy as probably everyone was feeling. I was just trying to be like positive, I suppose.
And was that sort of positive because these are the sorts of foods you could be buying during lockdown that are going to look after your mood and your health?
Yeah, and kind of just I was up in Mangawai with my whole family, and that's just the best spot up there. It's close to the beach, you can walk, and I was like, we always look back at lockdown, we're like, we were so lucky that we went up there quickly, so we ended up just staying up there for it. So all of it, I guess, like food, lifestyle, like the whole full circle thing with health.
Because I thought this was pretty cool. Basically, your modus operandi as such, or to summarize things, would be that you want to help people eat more plants and more color.
Yeah.
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 Which is pretty cool. Like, yeah. I've never really read that or seen that from someone.
Yeah. Before. Yeah. 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 It's funny. I try to like go back to when things get overwhelming. I just try to go back to that type of thing. I'm like, you know what? I just want to feel good. I want to make people feel good. And like, more simple than I suppose that I tend to make it in my head.
So you didn't have a job at the stage because you were finishing
uni.
And then lockdown hits. So you start the Instagram account, no followers.
You're
basically thinking, right, I'm going to create some content.
Yeah. And like that was, it was easier then because that's all I thought about all day was like, what am I going to make? When am I going to make it? Like, I'm going to do this today.
Do you mean making food or like making content?
Food. Yeah. Well, both. I guess kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
And then I actually decided, I was actually having my parents are really epic, and my partner actually are very like business driven. So like any business idea I have, my dad's like, "How are we gonna make it happen?" Like he's very helpful in that sense. He's like, "I want you to do everything you possibly can." He's very good with logistical things. Same with Andrew, my partner, which is good because I have all these things, but I need someone to be like, no. Like, you need to break it down. And they're both really good at that, which is awesome. So every single day I'd be like, Dad, this idea. Like I was thinking of all these different business ideas that I could do. One of them was like a porridge caravan and which is still quite a cool idea. Mm. But things like that every single day. And then I saw a few of the influencers I was following made ebooks, and I was like, oh, like I could probably do that. Like I have a Canva account. I can do that. And then so that's when I was like, I'm just going to write an ebook. And I ended up doing that in like 2 weeks. I wrote like 100 recipes in 2 weeks.
100 recipes in 2 weeks?
And literally maybe like 80. It was insane. I was just like, that was like, this is what I'm going to do. And then I wonder if I've kept it. I should actually look to see if I have the original one because it would be really funny to go through and look through that.
So you designed your own ebook of recipes that you were making and basically writing those up and and so then you went online and sold that?
Yeah. Well, I was going to. And then I was like, Dad, can you just like proofread this and just go over it to make sure like it could be really bad. Like I don't know. And then he was reading like the little first parts of books that you read, like the 6 pages or whatever you talk about yourself. And he was like, Kelsey, like, this is quite good. Like, I think you should send this to publishers. And I was like, oh, sure, Dad, thanks. Just thought it was my dad being, like, really supportive and nice. And then I was going to sleep that night, and I was like, but I was like, that can't be how it works. Like, I don't know how publishing works, but I'm sure that's not it. And then I ended up, the next day, I was like, you know, what have I got to lose? Like, I just Googled, like, food, like, cookbooks I liked, and because I didn't know anything about publishers either. And just found some emails and was like, I'll just send out these emails. And then a few got back to me, and one was like, we'd love to meet you like next week. Like, wow. Can we chat?
You're
and
like, no, it's lockdown. What do you mean?
Yeah, yeah, legit. I know. Yeah. I was like, whoa, like this is, kind of crazy. So that's kind of how it, so I was meant to do an ebook and then it actually turned into a real book.
Sheesh. So, yeah. But it just shows like start, take action, not sure, so who, not how, so go and ask some people.
Yeah.
Your dad's giving you some encouragement.
Yeah.
She's probably normally like, this ain't going to work.
Yeah, I know. But yeah,
now he's like, oh shit, this is the thing.
I mean, you're not bad at this whole writing thing. And I was like, okay.
So then publisher wants to meet with you, and then does that turn into your first cookbook?
Yeah, yeah. So
do you call it a cookbook or is that?
So the ebook ended up, I'd say it wouldn't even be any of the same recipes that were in that ebook, because I had a whole, they were like, we want it to come out pre-Christmas, because that's just when cookbooks kind of come out. Some come out at different times of year, but most of them come out pre-Christmas. So that was like a whole year away pretty much. So I was like, oh, but I want it to come out now. Yeah. You know, like, I'm the person who's like, no, now.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, we need need to spend some time. Like, and I was like, okay. So then I ended up, and obviously throughout that time, I just got better and better at creating recipes and photographing recipes, because the photos, I love to look back at the photos that I thought were so good now.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, bless. But you want to start somewhere. Mm. And then, so I spent that whole year writing it, and then it ended up coming out. I might have even been like a year and a half away, because books, kind of cookbooks, they take, probably books as well, I don't know, like a year to make, and then like 6 months to put together, and then a few months of, so it's kind of like a 2-year process. It's quite lengthy.
So whilst creating the book, were you sort of telling your Instagram following that must have been growing, like, hey, I've got a book coming up? Or
I was kind of like, maybe I'll, to be honest, I only had like 3,000 followers, so it wouldn't have been that exciting news. But I don't even think I told anyone until it was actually coming out. Now that I think about it, it was a year and a half of me creating it and then it coming out. So it was like I had this deal, but I didn't really talk about it for maybe like another year.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's been pretty exciting though.
Yeah. I always remember like there's this spot in Hobsonville where my publishers are, and then where now my 3PR warehouse is there. And every time I drive past there, I'm like, oh, this was that feeling I had when I like something really big was first happening for me. Like, and I still drive past, I'm like, oh. That's still get cool, that feeling.
Cool. I hope everybody can have a moment like that in their life. I know what you mean. Sometimes I would just end a phone call or something and then just be in the car mode and be like, whoa.
I know. And then you listen to a good song and you're like, yes. And I didn't think, because I was a competitive swimmer growing up, and I kind of thought I wouldn't have those. Sports kind of a funny thing of winning a gold medal. It's a really good feeling. And I was like, I wonder if like, now that I don't have that, like, will there be more? When you're young and you think all the good feelings are done, I was like, oh no, like, what if I don't win another gold medal? Like, but it is, it's the same in life. Like, you get these good feelings just from anything. Like, when I got engaged, just like when, you know, like little things in life, which is really cool. Because I'm.
Was that at Hobsonville at the 3PL?
Yeah. I was like, please propose to me in Hobsonville.
Yeah. I think you probably found that business or the things that you've ended up doing probably much like sport, right, where it's they're actually quite similar.
I know, because I me and my friends used to swim talk about this quite a bit. We're like, my dad was like 10 years of my life training 10 times a week, and I was like, and when I quit, I was like, oh, it seems like a bit of a waste, like my whole teenage years and my that is how most of my best friends and Andrew, that's how we met. And now that I think about it, I'm like, it did teach me, and Andrew talk about it a lot, it taught us these skills of like organization, and like you have to get up every morning at 4:30 to go kill yourself in the pool and then come home. Like, that's not usually people's childhood. No. So like, it definitely taught me a lot of like things in life to be, and to see things. I think I'm really good at seeing something in the distance. So like, because when you're swimming, you're training for something that's 3 years away. So I'm quite good at being like, this is going to take time. It's a couple years away. And kind of building over those couple of years to see like a result, I think that comes from swimming.
That's pretty
cool. I like to think it does. Gave me something.
Well, even you think about it, a swim, looking at the bottom of a pool, is basically the same thing for the whole duration, right? Bar the tumble turn.
Mentally,
you have to go, right, this is, let's say it's 2K or whatever,
yeah,
or even 800 meters. Like, this is the same thing for 800 meters. So I wonder if that's then helped you sit down and write.
True. Yeah. Like to spend time doing something, looking at a line on the bottom of the book. Yeah. People used to say that at school, they're like, how do you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. I just like winning and yeah. You have to train to win, so I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. It probably puts...
Because there's some data that suggests that kids that grow up learning jujitsu like go on to be very disciplined,
right,
and they make very good leaders.
I imagine it's the same,
yeah,
same vibe.
So
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's actually some data that backs up like what swimmers that are good and competitive at it like go on to,
yeah,
to be able to do.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a crossover in,
yeah,
life, which is nice. Nice to know I didn't, yeah, do it for nothing.
That's right. We unlock other chapters through
exactly.
doing the prior ones.
Exactly.
Just on that, how good were you at swimming? Like, are we talking you were training for the Olympics in 3 years?
Yep.
Shit.
But I quit when I didn't make Com Games.
Okay.
So kind of that level, like I was in New Zealand teams as a junior. And then as a senior, I made a couple teams, but yeah, that was kind of when I was like, oh, maybe I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
My coach changed and I got glandular fever, and it was kind of just all a bunch of different things. I think it was me realizing like I actually don't want to go to the Olympics. I think I'm good.
Yeah.
It seems I don't want to do it anymore, which was a weird thing because since I was 9, that was the plan. Like that was what I really, really wanted to do. So it was a bit of a weird... I think that's when I went through that I'm not good at anything, because that was my whole life.
Yeah.
My whole, it was like, Kelsey, the
swimmer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like throughout school, everyone's like, yeah, she's going to go to the Olympics. And so it was a weird thing to kind of figure that out.
Yeah, how did you navigate that? Because I know this is a bit of a tangent now, but like I think a lot of people go through that where they tie their identity to something, it changes, and then all of a sudden they've lost themselves. So how did you work through that kind of... Who am I?
Yeah, that was actually when I went to Camp America, which I feel like was a really good thing, like going overseas and just like seeing different things, meeting people from different places. Like I think it broadens your horizon a little bit. You're not in your little thing. You can see, I don't know, you can see your future in different ways, but it definitely took. And I think I was lucky when I quit, I was so ready to quit that as soon as I was like, I feel really good about this decision. Like I wasn't like, oh, I don't know. I was really, really done.
Yeah.
So that was lucky. But I would say it took me like a year to be like, oh, like I'm meant to do this. And I mean, everyone kind of goes through it every now and then of what am I doing? Like, am I meant to be doing this? Like, but yeah, it definitely took me some time to figure that one out.
So now when you go swimming, do you like just blitz a few laps in front of everyone just to show them like, what's up?
It's
now?
Such like a stupid thing to be stupidly good at. Like it doesn't really come in handy. Oh, actually, we're at a hostel 2 years ago in Morocco and we made a bunch of like still our best friends now. And we were in like a 25 meter pool at the hostel and they were like, who wants to have a race? And I was like, I do.
Yeah.
And then Andrew and my friend Courtney were like, oh, this is good. Like, we're going to win something. And then suddenly everyone's like, holy shit, you're like really good at swimming. And I was like, yep, it's finally come in handy, guys. Yeah. This is the only time.
Far out.
Because, it's not a handy thing to show off, really. It doesn't.
It'd be very good, I'd imagine, like in the sea or something, if you saw someone that was struggling.
Is good.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, so we go surfing a lot, which I think it still is the paddling situations. It's a lot more tiring these days, though, than when I was swimming.
Yeah.
And just like, we grew up doing surf lifesaving quite competitively as well. So that type of thing is nice to know, like, oh, you could probably save someone if you needed to.
Yeah. Okay, let's take us back to, so you now you've got a few thousand followers, you've got a recipe book in the pipeline, you can see some money at that point, you can see it coming in, like, okay, if we can sell some of these.
Yeah, and like that was probably when I started to get a few, I didn't realize again that you could, like brand deals were a thing, I didn't know that you could make money in that way, and I remember I literally emailed, I want to say like 1,000 people. Like I was emailing probably 30 companies a day, being like, hey, I'm doing this. I promise. I know you work with cool people. Literally my thing was, I know you work with people way bigger than me, but I'm way cooler than them. Like I promise I'm really cool. And then a lot of companies were like, would love to send you stuff, which at that point I was like, oh my gosh, great. Like
Free
I was
stuff.
Happy to get anything. I was like, yes, give me anything. And then a couple brands were like, yeah, just like let me know how much you want to charge. And I'm like,
wait, what?
I don't know. Like, yeah, how am I meant to know how much I want to charge? Like, and I remember my very first thing, I made $100 and I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. Like, I was just so excited about any sort of making money off anything in that way. I was like, this is so cool. I get to just make some bliss balls and then I'm making some money. How good. So that was when I was figuring that kind of whole thing. I still honestly haven't really figured out the how much you should charge and whatnot with that type of thing, which is why an agent's really good, because they do that.
Yeah.
In that first, and then luckily, because we were going to go traveling, I did have savings. So throughout all my uni, I was saving quite a bit of money to go traveling. So I did have like backup if I wasn't making any money. And that next year, I think it was the year post-COVID, we actually decided to live in Bali for 6 months.
Wow, nice.
Which is a very cheap place to live. Yeah. You can live there for a very long time and not spend much, especially during COVID, because it was, everything was, like you could book a villa for barely anything a month, which was great.
Also, you were over there during the
pandemic. It was kind of when New Zealand was still locked down, but not the rest of the world.
Mm.
So we were like, okay, I just need to go somewhere else. Like, because in my head, I was like, I'm going to go traveling. I was like, I just need to do something else. So we were like, I've grown up going to Bali and I love it there. So I was like, okay, well, let's just go stay here for 6 months and then we can come back. So we did have to quarantine in Jakarta, which was interesting.
Wow.
But once we were there, it was amazing. And I feel like that helped me grow Healthy Kelsey so much, because I had so much time to do that. And I'm really glad I did it. Like, talking about it now, like, I was 21, 22. So I didn't, I didn't have any worries. I was just like, I'm going to go. I've got the savings. I may as well go do something cool.
See what happens.
And And it's like, Bali's not, I think even if you didn't make food, I think we spent more money me making food than going out for food.
Yeah.
It's such a cheap place. So that was kind of during probably the first year and a bit of Healthy Kelsey kind of starting here.
So I'm picking up that you've picked something that you're passionate about.
Mm.
That makes it easier to write some content and sit down and write 80 recipes like a freak.
What a weirdo.
Yeah. Nail that. You start building an Instagram following, 3,000 people. It's not exactly world beating in this day and age. And obviously these days she's a lot bigger. We'll get to that. But, you are gaining some traction because people are seeing things, but then you've still got to do the hustle yourself. Like, the world doesn't come to you, right? These brands aren't just like, hey, you are cool. You're I'm going to email 30 a day.
Yeah.
Again, like, great principle and something a lot of people would kind of go, nah, surely you don't have to do that, but you do.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are worried about rejection, which I just haven't ever really been that worried about.
Yeah.
I think it's actually my dad. He's like doing speeches at school, he was like, you have to go first. That's just what you have to do. And so I have a dad who's that kind of guy. So
what was he trying to teach you there, do you think?
I don't know. Maybe to and he would always practice school speeches. He was like, you don't have to be amazing at public speaking, but it's something you don't want to be scared to do.
Yeah.
So since I was year 7 and we had to do a reading from, I think I chose Pippi Longstockings, and he practiced with me for hours and hours and hours, every single day, so that I could just go and be super confident doing it.
Yeah.
Awesome. And every time we did speeches, he's like, just go first and then you're done. Like, you can sit there for the next 6 days while everyone else is doing their speeches and you can just chill out.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what. But it's quite good because now I'm not worried about public speaking. I can, I don't love it, but I can go and say something and feel fine about it, which is great.
Including creating content, I'd imagine,
And even that, that's the other thing, especially with TikTok. Like, you kind of have to be embarrassing. Like, it's not it's such a weird thing to get used to, talking to your phone and, especially, I still can't even do it in public. Like, I still get embarrassed, but, I think not being scared of what other people think about you is a great one, which my dad is also the most embarrassing person ever. So I'm not embarrassed about anything, which is great.
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting. I was having a conversation recently with a guy and he's very successful and he was talking to me about some things and we're just talking about how, you see people with potential that could be doing better and then people that kind of don't have a lot going for them but seem to be doing really well. And we're just having this really high level convo, and he was like, mate, I think part of it is just
if you can learn to communicate, opportunities start coming for you, life gets a bit easier. And it's such a good skill to learn, whether it's writing or talking, etc. And
yeah.
I often say to mates who, because I do a bit of speaking and whatnot, and so some of them will ask me, right, any tips? And I'm like, the first thing you have to remember is never get up there and tell people that you're nervous.
Yeah, you just got to
fake it. Or that you hate this.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you probably do, because what we all are worried about is just people not accepting us or thinking, or us making a dick of ourselves. And so then we're like, oh, I'm nervous, I'm not very good at this. That's not actually true. That's just what everyone says. So then you pick it up.
And then you think it, but most of the time no one else is thinking that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So like what you're really saying when you stand up there and say that is basically, hi guys, I'm really scared of making a dick of myself because I know it's human instinct to hate the fact that you guys might all want nothing to do with me because I might make a dick of myself. Like that's really what's happening. And so then I'm like, the second part is to remember that people in the audience, like, they don't have an expectation of whether you're good, what you're going to talk about, exactly how you had already read the joke 6 times in your head. So stop thinking about, like, the only one who knows the expectation is yourself.
Yeah.
And they've got no idea. And they're all sitting there thirdly being like, fuck, I'm glad that's not me.
Yeah. And I think most people, honestly, I always say this to people, like, most people are thinking about themselves, you know, like no one's actually that worried about what anyone else is doing because everyone's too stressed about what they're doing themselves.
Yeah, like one of the best things to remember about when you go to speak is to remember that the people sitting there are like, man, I'm so glad that's not me.
Yeah,
like I'm glad I didn't put my hand up to ask the question or whatever. And if you can slowly like twist that to understand, okay, this isn't as bad as what you think because your body's just creating it like that. And then also that if you can start doing a little bit more of it, you're instantly going to be in a smaller percentage. And then naturally people end up going, they're a leader.
Yeah.
Maybe they're the manager. Oh, mate, you know, and they end up getting the opportunities and people look at them and go like, oh, how did they get those? Like, it's probably because they're really good at speaking. You're like, well, maybe they're just taking risk or putting themselves out there.
Yeah. Even though it's still scary. Like, I am still always a bit scared to do like, you know, like events at things. Yeah. Like, I'm like, what if no one comes? I'm like, no one cares. And I was doing one at Sisters & Co. in the Mount. It's this really cool like clothing store, but they also have like, they sell my book and protein. And I was talking to the owner about it. I was like, I'm always scared. I was doing like smoothies and stuff. And I was like, I'm always scared to do this type of thing because I'm just worried no one's going to show up. And she's like, yeah, but it's not like no one's showing up to your birthday party. You know, like it's just like people coming in. And like the good thing about doing it at a store like that is that people come in and out anyway. But yeah, it's like, it's not personal. Like it doesn't matter if like, it's just like something you did. It's not you yourself. People aren't coming up for, people who know you not coming or something. Like it's a different thing. And like doing it more, I just seem to get better at it. I still stress though.
I think we all do. I've just sent an email inviting people to an event before leaving here, so half an hour before, and I'm like, right, you know, as soon as this email goes, we've put a stake in the ground and people are going to know that we're doing this, and if no one wants to come
then I can't cancel. And like I know I'm doing a retreat in Bali in June, and that was what I was like doing that. I was like, what if no one wants to come? And then like in the first few weeks I was like, oh, not that many people have signed up. And but now like we have quite a few people coming, and I was like, even if not that many people were going to come, like it's still going to be, we're going to Bali, like it's going to be sick. I'm going to make cool friends and like like-minded people. Like
I was going to say, what are the dates?
Yeah, I'm just like, I think it will be fine. I think I'm just overthinking a little bit there.
I think as well, like when you do competitive swimming, for instance, you're learning to lose. And I think that's actually quite good for us because, you know, it's quite good to bump into people that just are better than you because it can raise you up. But at the same time, you have to accept, shit,
you're not gonna be
this is life.
Yeah. You're not the best at anything really.
And then also emailing 1,000 people by the third day, probably even the second day, when you realize like, oh shit, literally only 3% of these people, if I'm doing well, will respond to me, you realize like, oh, this is actually quite good.
Yeah,
it's a numbers game.
When you like actually narrow it down, you're like, actually this is fine. Yeah,
it's funny because you could send 30 emails in a day, right? But if you get one, you'd be like, bang, this works. But most people will be like, did anyone reply? You'd be like, yeah, one person replied.
And then like, that's so true. Even when I was sending out those million emails, like literally one person, which is what happened, is one person would reply. And I'd be like, wow, cool. Like, and I'd forget about any of the non-replies.
Yeah. What I do sometimes in my head, and this is like a little bit arrogant, but what I do and say to clients when I'm saying to do things like this, I say, email them, because like, if you stay the path with this, then in 2 years, when they get in touch with you, you can be like, I emailed you about this.
It's almost like me now, later on, when I've got a bit more to say, you know, like I've got a bigger following, I have a bit more to be like, I've got this now. And those people that I did email a couple of years ago were like, oh, like, you I remember, yeah. yeah.
You are like, cooler.
I told you, yeah. I told you I was going to be cool.
yeah. It could have cost you $100 and $4.
I know, yeah. Should have done it then.
yeah, now I've got an agent. Yeah. They're going to tell you what's up. Yeah. It's awesome. Okay, so you go through some pain of basically like, let's reach out, let's find some opportunities, let's hunt them out, just accepting that the world's not going to come to you. And then you go traveling to Bali, you pour more of your time and your effort and your soul into this.
Yeah.
Do you go to Bali and see some people, I'm just guessing, because this is from my 7 days there.
Influencers
Yeah,
in
or
Bali.
Just think yeah. like, man, the world is a cool place, like these people are doing that. Like I've just broken my paradigm of, oh, you can't fucking work on the internet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, well, hang on. There's, what the hell? There's way
Everyone's
too many people
surfing every morning and going to the...
Why are they in such good shape?
Yeah. Why are they so happy?
Why are their breakfasts look better than anything I've had?
I know.
Yeah.
It was a bit like that. I didn't realize even Bali was the place for influencers. And it was really good because we went during COVID when there was really only people living there. There wasn't even many tourists. So it was just we lived in Changu and it was, it wasn't crazy busy and it was the best. I'm so glad we did it. But it was a bit like that. I was like, oh, people do this. And my partner, he just started a project management company, but that's kind of something you need to be in a place for. And I was like, no, no, you need to start something so we can go live somewhere else. But now I'm back on the love living in New Zealand vibe. I just needed to go away for a couple of years and see things. And
I think a lot of people did through that time, right? And I mean, not everyone could, but or could afford to on the other side.
Yeah.
But yeah, sort of revenge travel, I think they called it.
Yeah, yeah, especially if you're young and don't have too much going on. It's quite a cool way to see. I always say like it just taught me, I think it makes me appreciate everything. You see things from different perspectives. I obviously ate a lot of good food.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a big turning point to be like, oh, you can work online and you can kind of work from anywhere, which is crazy. And now I definitely do. We've got obviously the protein powder and the books and I've got quite a few different things going on. So being in New Zealand is easier now just because I have a whole setup at home and it does make life. When I travel away, I do have to prep. We're going to Canada next month and I start prepping like content that I'm going to post when I'm away. But at least that's only 10 days. When we were doing 3 months of travel, I had prepped like 3 months of recipes to post while I was, in New Zealand. And then I'd do that, which is really lucky that I can do that because it just means you have to work crazy for a few months. But it does mean those 3 months, I don't stress too much about it, which is quite nice. I can just spend a couple of days organizing things and like...
Do you schedule it all and then sort of...
I'm so bad at scheduling. Yeah. I just like save drafts.
Yeah,
I save like a million drafts. And then kind of the day of, even this morning I made my smoothie this morning and posted it this morning, which like I don't usually do. Usually I like bank up recipes and save them. But I was like, this is something that's like trending, so I should post it now before the trend goes crazy. So I was like, I need to be quick with this one. But yeah, I'm quite random. I should be more organized, to be honest, with the posting.
Seems like it's working.
That's
right?
True.
So when did it get to the stage where you kind of like, do you remember hitting your first 100,000 followers on Instagram?
Yeah, that when it went from... Maybe it was last summer before. I think it was when my first cookbook came out, I hit 10,000.
Yeah.
And then that summer, Reels, that was when Reels, and I think I jumped on the Reel train at the right time.
Yeah.
Like, I think the algorithm liked me doing that, and I did read up on a little bit, like, now you should be posting Reels. So I was like, okay, let's do that.
Yeah.
So that was good timing. But that summer, it just jumped from 10,000 to like 150,000.
Wow.
And then last summer it did the same. Another summer it's doing the same. I don't know what summer is.
Yeah.
But it seems to like, I think it's because I'm home, to be honest, and I put a lot more effort into posting lots of Reels, which is, I think personally, the main way to grow followers and grow an Instagram account is through Reels. And it's easy because then you can also use them on TikTok.
So yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. And what's the split of following New Zealand versus international?
So funny, a lot of my following is actually American.
Really?
Like 50% or 40% or something crazy. Oh. New Zealand's growing. It grows a lot more when I'm in the country, which that's why I'm glad I'm also staying here this year, because I do want to grow my New Zealand like audience, since this is where I want to live in life. Yeah. Unless this is where I need to be growing an audience. But that's the tricky thing with publishing a book. Oh my God, this is actually something I'm going through right this second, is publishing a book here and not having it be available overseas. I myself have purchased heaps of my books and I've sent them over to America to a 3PL so that I can sell them on Amazon. But I've been trying to upload the book to Amazon for a month, which is a whole nother headache. So I kind of have to do that myself to get it to my following.
I see.
Which is quite hard. I prefer maybe not to do that part. But I was just like, I want to get this book out to as many people as possible. Yeah. So
there's got to be a solution. Someone listening must know.
Someone. Someone
else. We need Americans to be able to buy the book from New Zealand and get it shipped to them.
Basically. Yeah, or even like some publishers, you can sell the rights to new publishers in America, in the UK, like that, so that I don't have to do that part. I just have to go, look, here's my book, buy it from here.
So is it a logistical issue or is it a publisher type contract? Like, hey, no, these have to be...
Probably both. Okay. Yeah, but my publishers here are really keen to sell it to an international publisher. Like, that's not... They're like, yes, we'd love that. Yeah. More books are better. But yeah, it's quite hard once you've written a book to get another publishing company to want to sell it, because it's not like there, but you know, they didn't put effort into it. So
America's, I found that a big beast.
It's also a big beast. Yeah. That's the thing. But that's like, that's where my following is. So it's a bit of a tricky one.
Yeah. And what about like DMs? Do you try and respond to people?
Yeah. I just go through phases, I guess, of responding to all of them and then not for a while, and then I forget, like when you go to like the extra requests or something and I'm like, oh, I haven't been in here for a while.
There's a thousand.
I should really like go through and like I mainly get really nice messages, which is really awesome. Great, except for the odd, you know, creepy dude going, hey, I want to be your sugar daddy.
Oh wow.
But other than that, I get really nice messages from people, mainly, I'm in the US, can I buy your book? I'm in the US, can I buy your protein? I'm here, can I buy this? And I'm like, I want you to.
We must solve this.
Yeah, I know. It's something, something I...
That's pretty cool. And then how do you, like, because I'd imagine when this following was small, I'm kind of asking this from a selfish perspective as well. I try and respond to everyone.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll jump out of a meeting, go on Instagram, and, like, I don't know if your Instagram does this, but I can feel it. It loads the messages. So it might say that there's three, then all of a sudden it's like...
Oh, there's, like, lots and loads.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, especially if I've posted, like, a story of... something like big.
Yeah.
In that, yeah.
I've only got 30,000 followers. You've got 330,000, I think, right? So I'm not even keeping up. But I'm freaking out at that level. So I don't know what it must be like to have.
Yeah, I don't actually find it that. I mean, I'm not getting that bombarded, to be fair.
Yeah.
But I do get messages. I'm probably on Instagram too much, to be honest. So I like, I'm on and then I reply to some and then I'll go back on and reply to some and. I try not to stress too much about it.
Nice. Yeah, because you can create a bit of a habit with social media, I think. Hey, when you're producing content rather than consuming, you're like, right, I've got an Instagram, reply to those people. Now I jump back on TikTok. Oh, shit, there's six comments, reply to them, whatever.
And then I'm really bad at just getting distracted. And I'm like, oh, fun video. And then I just scroll for like 10 minutes. I'm like, no, we were working. I find that, I say this to Andrew all the time, like I actually sometimes have a really productive day where I've made like six videos and I've drafted them all. They're all ready to go. But I just feel like I've been on my phone all day, so I'm like, well, that was a waste of a day. But I'm like, no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But it just feels like I've been on my phone all day.
Andrew's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm just like sitting there like scrolling. I'm
researching.
Yeah, I'm like, this is really important.
Yeah, I have a concept called like producer versus consumer. So if I start consuming, I've tried to like train my mind to be like, bro, like you're consuming, like you're on here to produce. And then just, and you're like, oh, it might be the thing that stops you from continuing to scroll or whatever, because it can be so tempting, right?
Oh my God, it's especially TikTok. My God, I can watch those Taylor Swift videos all day.
Oh, there's someone in my household that's doing that right now, I tell you. And I'm like, fuck, stop coming to bed singing that shit.
All day, I'm just jamming Taylor Swift.
Yeah, man, she's just everywhere at the moment.
She's taking over the world.
Yeah. Okay, so Now you go, so we've got book, we're starting to get a following, you've got some money coming in, you come back to New Zealand as well. Like, when do you start to think, right, I'm going to get into some protein powders and stuff like that?
So that was last summer, and that was because I think the reason why I have so many followers is from smoothie recipes. It's just they seem to go, it's kind of changing now. I've had different things like go viral, but like I'd say 70% of the time it's a smoothie, which is really funny. I think people find it quite satisfying to watch smoothies. I do also find it quite satisfying.
Yeah.
Like pretty colours and it just looks good.
I've seen a couple and I'm like, holy shit, mine does not look like that.
I get a lot of messages like that. Like, can I have specific breakdown of how you make your smoothies?
What is this magic?
I was like, lots of practice. So last summer I was getting... I think 100 comments or messages a day being like, what protein powder do you put in your smoothies? Because I like protein powder in the morning. I usually go to the gym and then I have a smoothie.
Yeah.
So I usually put protein powder in it, and I was getting sent a bunch, but no companies wanted to like pay me. No one actually wanted to partner with me. And I was like, but look, like this has got 5 million views. Like, come on. But they were like, oh, we're not really doing that. And I'm like, okay, that's fair enough. But then I had this idea of maybe one would want a partner to create like a healthy Kelsey section of the brand. So like work with a protein powder company to have a healthy Kelsey flavor or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I was chatting to Ben, who does our brand design, and he was like, I think you should just do it yourself. And I was like, it's a great idea, but I don't know how to make protein powder. No. And then again, I went to my dad and I was like, I don't know, Ben had this idea. And he's like, yeah, do that. And I was like, again, love the enthusiasm, but I don't know how to do that. And then we went to the sauna, which is where we have our serious business meetings in the sauna.
Love that.
And he was like, I think Andrew needs to be involved because you, I'm quite creative and I come up with different ideas and how it should look and make things look pretty and even just like marketing stuff. But Andrew's way better at like a spreadsheet and like putting money things together and making sure it all makes sense. So Dad was like, I don't think it's going to work if you just do it. Like, you need someone who's not, he's also very good at like knowing, he's like, you're really good at this, but you're not really good at this. So get someone who's really good at that. And he's like, and me and Andrew happen to be very good at different things, which works out really well. And so he kind of put together all the costs, and then we ended up, it was a friend of a friend, ended up helping us create it. And then it like happened so quick. I think it was December last year when I was like, yeah, we should do this. And then I think it was maybe 6 months later we had the product, and then end of last year we launched it. So it was relatively quick, I think, I was like, how are you meant to make it taste good? But because we had help.
Yeah.
They already knew what was going to taste good. So I was like, okay, at least we have like a base. If I did it myself, I reckon it would have taken 10 years of me mixing something in the kitchen.
Blueberry bubblegum.
Yeah, like literally. And I'm like, where do you get this stuff from? Like, I don't know. Yeah. So it's really, it was really good having that contact. And now through that, we've just met more, like we want to come out with a bunch of different products this year. And it's kind of like through, now we have a 3PL warehouse and the guy who owns that has helped us get in touch with the guy who can create this type of powder and mix it together to make it taste good and look good and have all the good. That's the thing too, because I don't want to have a bunch of additives and stuff in the product, which makes making stuff quite hard, I've found. But it's good, it's worth it. So finding the right person to kind of do that. But I feel like once you meet someone, you can meet someone else through someone and someone else through someone.
I have to talk about on Keep the Change how, you know, when we're growing up, people are like, be careful talking to strangers and stuff. Yeah. But realistically,
now I'm like, anyone talk to me?
Yeah. Does anyone know someone that knows this answer?
I know. Sometimes I ask Instagram, like on my story with this Amazon thing, I'm like, someone, and no one knows. But I'm just like, someone help me. Like,
please.
Then even with, because now I run the Second Nature Instagram account. And
which is the brand of the protein powder.
Yeah. So I was like, I was really excited at first, but I was like, this is a lot of content to be making. I don't know why it didn't cross my mind that it was going to be double the amount of work than what I am originally doing.
So you're talking about their second brand, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to build it out.
Yeah. And I'm so focused on building Healthy Kelsey as well. And I was like, it's really hard to have my brain really invested in both. So I was like, I just want really cool girls to come like create good content. And then yeah. I thought of a couple of girls and reached out, which is really cool. So they're making content. And then I was just like, actually, does anyone who follows me, do you guys want to make anyone?
Yeah.
I'll send product to anyone. So I just like I had heaps of really cool girls reply. So now I've sent them protein. And like it's just like when I first started, like I was like, yes, like give me something to play with. So that's really cool. Now I've got a bunch of girls helping and creating content for the
community generated content.
Yeah. I was like, this is cool. Like, and it's people who already like the product or, you know, have some of my stuff, or so they already know what the vibe is.
I'd imagine they'd create it like in their style as well, where you can then go, wow, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, for sure. And even for that page to get different, not just my face, you know, like it's good for a business page, I think, to have a bunch of different people being like, this tastes nice, or this is good, not just me all the time popping up in there.
So how many flavors have you got for the protein powder?
So we've got three. We've got double choc fudge, salted caramel cookie, and French vanilla.
Right. And is it plant-based?
Yeah. So it's pea protein.
Yeah. Okay.
Which pea protein is one of those ones that people are like, I don't know. But I was very determined to make it taste good.
I brought some recently, not your one, plant-based just to test it or try it.
Yeah.
And I could do it, but I was like, oh, this is different to what I've grown up with. Yeah. And so I'm looking forward to
ripping into some. You should try that. Yeah, salted caramel cookies, it disappears very quick in definitely, our house.
Yeah, it wasn't the flavor that I had from the, I can't remember what brand it was, but looking forward to trying the second nature.
Yeah.
Okay, so you add a second brand and you start adding in like more products and things like that, and you're just breaking down barriers as you go and basically figuring things out as you go, right?
Yeah, 100%. I still, like, literally on, I think on Tuesday, I still cried about something, so I'm still not not really good all the time at everything. Like, things definitely are still going, well, I feel like everything is actually going good. It's just in my head, I'm like, I'm always like, I'm not doing enough. I need to do more, and I'm not successful, and it doesn't make sense when I say it out loud, but in my head sometimes.
In the moment it does. How old are you, do you mind saying?
26.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Like, I'm not doing well enough, I'm 26.
Honestly, I don't know what's wrong with me. I need to Andrew, he's really good, my partner. He's very into like meditation and like figuring these things out. He's like, you need to sort this out, otherwise you're going to be unhappy. Like, and most of the time, I am happy, like 95% of the time, I live a great life and I'm very lucky and my family's amazing and stuff. But yeah, for some reason, I just get in my own head about doing more. And I don't even know what I'm trying to be successful at. I don't even know what why I feel that way. I don't know where it stems from or why I think it's not success or what I even define as success. But for some reason, probably like once every 2 or 3 months, I have this like, I don't know what I'm doing type thing.
Oh, yeah.
But then at least I figure it out quite quickly, which is good.
So you can see that it's like a recurring pattern. You're like, oh, yeah, I've been here before.
Yeah. And I'm like, why are we doing this again? Yeah. Like, let's move on.
Have you ever done the Clifton Strengths Finder? Come across that?
Nah.
So it's basically, you know, when we go to school and whatnot and we're like, hey, you're shit at science. You need to get better at that. And so that's sort of how we teach people. The Clifton Strengths Finder comes from the other angle of basically like a personality profile, but more of a what are you good at?
Oh, does it have numbers?
Top 34.
Is that a different one? Oh, maybe it's a different one, I'm thinking.
But basically, it lists out your strengths, which are unique to you, and it's then about focus on doing what you do and do it well.
Right.
And don't worry too much about the blind spots, and then, see if you can find some people that are good at those things, which you've kind of already figured out.
Yeah, that's kind of what my dad was saying. Yeah. Like, you're not going to be good at everything. It's just not how humans work.
No. But one of the themes, which I think you're kind of touching on, maybe, it could be completely way off, but is maximizer. So basically, like, some people will see things and they will go, that's really good. And then they'll just stay there. But other people will go, I know it's good, but it could have been way better.
Yeah.
And then you're constantly looking at everything being like, that could have been done like this, that could have been done better. And basically, that's a really good strength. But then when you overuse those strengths, you basically start to step too far into it and think it has to be done like this or it could have been done like that. Yeah. And that's where it starts to impact you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then one of them's competitive or competition. I just think it might be fascinating for you to do that.
Yeah.
And see like what comes up as your sort of top
Wait, what's
five,
it called again?
The Clifton Strengths Finder.
Remind me after this. I want to do that.
Yeah. It's you start reading and you're like, God, this is way too accurate.
Right. Yeah, it's funny those things. And that is probably Who knows? Like it could that. Be. Yeah. That's a good thing to do.
I had written here, so how do you have the courage to start? And then, we haven't even touched on this, but like you've built an app. So I think we've heard little bit about.
I forgot about that.
You've had the courage to start, but like how do you keep finding the courage to do more stuff, right? Yeah. Like the protein powder, then an app. Like I've built an app before and I know it ain't cheap.
Do it in Bali.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice. Yeah.
It's a much cheaper way to do it. That's what I
hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. When I was living there, that's what I was like. I was like, I kind of had like 5-year plans and I was like, so when I make this, I'll be able to do the app. And then again, my dad is like, we should just do it now. He's this kind of person. We were talking to a friend the other day because I think I want to move to Mangawai next year. We've bought a section up there and I think that's where I want to like raise kids and stuff.
Yeah.
And we're talking to a friend. We really want a Pilates studio up there. So we're talking to a friend about, you should open this Pilates studio. And then she's like, oh, I don't know. And dad's like, no, you should just do it. Like my dad's such a, anyone wanting to start a business, no, you should do it now. Like, yeah. He's just really encouraging. I think it's cool. It gives people like a boost of confidence when someone says that to them. So I was just like, okay, maybe I should do that now. And that, I feel like it's actually probably taken a little bit of a backseat. I think I need to start looking at maybe hiring someone to just help with that, because that just uploading recipes to that every week is quite time consuming. The way it works is each ingredient has to be entered individually so that it goes to a shopping list, so that when you click on the recipe you want to make, it goes to a shopping list, like a grocery shopping list, which is really cool, but it means each ingredient has to be added. So it's a very, you can't just copy and paste a whole recipe. It's gotcha. Like individually entering.
So I could go in there and be like, okay, I want to make that. And then that would spit out for me, these are all the individual ingredients you need to go and buy.
Yeah. So it adds it to a grocery cart and you click on the grocery cart and then you can go to and you can tick off each little thing that you want to go shopping with, which is a really, I love that feature, but I'm like, I have to individually add sometimes, you know, recipes if they have like, I try and make recipes with less amount of ingredients as possible, but you know, some of them sometimes have like 20 and I'm just like, oh, this takes me half an hour just to upload a recipe.
Is the app paid? Do you have to pay for the app?
Actually that reminds me, I do need to pay for the year. I saw I paid just like a yearly fee.
Oh no, but I mean, so if I want
So it's but it's cheap. It's not, I really wanted to make just something to help people eat healthier and maybe go to the easy way to go to the supermarket and find the ingredients you want. So it's not much at all. I think it's like $1.50 a week or something.
Wicked. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
And then you must lose a chunk of that to Apple and Android and whatnot and learn those 30, lessons.
30%. Yeah.
It's nuts. It's funny. You know, people, well, it's not really funny, but you know, people will come to you and say, I'm going to start an app.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh shit.
Yeah. I actually had this idea for an app before even Healthy Kelsey started, of like a shopping one of Christmas presents, and if you like to help people find Christmas presents, I'm very good at Christmas present shopping, and I was like, oh, this would be cool, of like getting information about people and then someone take that idea and do it. It's a good idea. And but that was it. I was like, I don't know how to. And then I think it was before the protein, I was kind of debating what direction to go in, and I was thinking of going further with the app and making it a full-time, like making just a bit bigger. And I had a meeting with a couple of people and it was meaning I was going to have to spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then I also went through this process of maybe I don't want to be running an app and, you know, like an app like that size in 5 years. Like I don't think that's what I actually want to do. Which was, quite good of me to realize that now. So we ended up going in a different direction, which I think was where I was meant to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you wanna, it's an expensive activity.
And then like you build the beast, then you gotta feed the beast, just like social media, you know.
You gotta get people on there, and
And then I'd imagine it'd be like, hey, my payment didn't go through, or you're trying to work out why it's
the
churn rate,
servicey things. That is the thing about being in Bali; they're the best. Like, I think best people in the world live in Bali. They're just kind, lovely humans. Like, so nice.
Yeah.
That's why I think me and my family always go back. But yeah, obviously English isn't their first language, so sometimes with customer service, like it's a little bit trickier.
I see. So it's managed over there.
Usually I get the messages, but then I obviously ask them because I don't know tech things in an app. I'm like, this person said this, and then they usually fix it. But yeah, so things like that, and even just with creating the app at first, I had to make sure I went through and checked like English, because there's just like tiny spelling, little mistakes of like, yeah, spelling or like full stops and random things that, yeah, people with English isn't their first language wouldn't even pick up probably.
So are the users of the app, are they just Kiwis or have you got no international as well?
So a lot of that is American as well.
And so, do some of them say, we can't get that here or any of that?
Yeah, so the only thing really with that, that's actually the thing with the book, I was like, I'm just going to have to hope that people are okay with, you know, coriander, cilantro, grams, cups, like, so there's tiny little things like that that are, but most people, because of food blogging now online is so common, I think people are so used to the different ways of weighing and what people call, I actually had, there's actually a big conversation going on one of these recipes I made the other day, and it's a big debate about a sweet potato, kumara, yam, like the difference, and I'm just like, you keep, this is great for the engagement, you guys keep at it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, each country calls things different, it doesn't, it's, nothing's right or wrong, it's just I'm like, you use whatever you want to use.
I bet you get some DMs as well, hey, just pointing it out,
I know,
this is actually
something, and I'm like, okay, thanks, thanks so much.
What about email list? Have you built out an email list? Do that?
Oh, that's another thing. I should hire someone, I think. I think I'm leaning towards the... that's in my not as important basket right now, but I think it should be because it's such a good way of... And I do have... Because I have everyone's email from the app and from Second Nature, I could definitely be utilising that a lot more. I just... Yeah, it hasn't been my priority. Yeah. So that... Yeah, this is where I'm leaning towards maybe hiring someone to help with that type of thing, because I much going on.
What about like Facebook ads, have you ever run those?
So that we've just started those with Second Nature, my friend's business, Explosive Social is their company, they've just started with Second Nature ads, and actually mainly just Second Nature, and then like my book is also being sold on Second Nature, so anything that we've also just uploaded these really cool, have you seen like those brass spoons that have like really cool things like sunflowers, and they're like very Instagrammy aesthetic everywhere in Bali. So I've just got them made in Bali and they've just arrived. So we'll be selling those. Just like things like that.
Oh, I think I know what you mean. Yeah. They look like kind of like old schoolish with patterns and stuff on them.
Yeah. Just got like fun spoons. That's another thing I was just getting asked about every day. So I was like, oh, maybe I should do those.
It's quite cool. Once you build an audience, you can then sort of...
just do what people tell you to do.
Yeah.
Great.
Because I was going to say, your Explosive Social will probably tell you this, but I'm fairly sure you can still get a list of people that you know, say their email addresses, which you'd have, and then run ads to that list. So basically build an audience. So give that audience to Facebook and say, hey, go and like tell them that this exists.
Yes, so, actually, I think they did recently ask me for that so that they could do that, which is, all that stuff. I'm like, it's great to learn, though.
I was about to say.
It's good for me.
Yeah. You would have learned so much through all of this, right?
Yeah.
So you're doing Instagram, TikTok. You've then added a second brand, which is the Second Nature, right? And then you've got an app. You're doing some Facebook stuff as well. What aren't you doing? YouTube?
It makes me seem like, I tried YouTube for like, when we were living in Bali, actually.
Yeah.
And once I came home, I was like, I would love to do YouTube, though. I don't know. Like, I think I just wouldn't, I'd maybe film it and then again, maybe have to get someone else to put it together, because putting those videos together takes hours.
Yeah.
Like, it's a long, a long thing. And I feel like it's a really cool way of getting people more involved in your life. Like, it ended up just being a bit too much.
It can be so hard to
do
try
it one day, though. Maybe when I like live in Mangalai and living a wholesome life.
Well, that's the thing. You might even find some people that, you know, like you said before, that specialize in the different areas and go, right, like, I've created this content, or tell me what sort of content you need me to create. And given that that seems to be coming to you quite naturally.
Yeah, maybe I could go in that direction. Yeah, Andrew could. Oh my God, Andrew's getting bullied on my Instagram at the moment because I made this really funny video and now it's got like 8 million views.
Wow!
And he looks like an idiot. Like, he comes up behind me in this cake video and is like, "Hi!" Like, he's just like making a funny face. And there's this comment thread again that's going like, "Who's that creepy guy behind?"
Brilliant.
And Andrew's loving it. He's like, "Look, I'm famous." I'm like, "I don't think it's in a good way."
Yeah. Wow.
I was like, "Sorry, I didn't expect the video to blow up so much."
Outstanding. I just want to go back to something you said before, because I think some people wouldn't understand, but when you said 3PL, so basically what you mean there is that, so you could just make the protein powders, have them sitting in your garage, and then you go and send them out, right? But a 3PL is all the stock and product sits at a factory.
Yes.
And they get the order and then they dispatch it.
Yes.
And you don't have to touch it.
Which is great. Yeah. I didn't know that existed. So when we first started it, we're living at my parents at the moment because we bought this section. We're like, well, we're going to have to live here for the year. Sorry, team. Yeah. But they like, love it. They're like, the sauna my dad's literally like, live here forever, stay here forever. Mum too. But yeah, they do like having us there. But so we were like, can we use your garage to put protein? And they're like, okay, like, great. Yeah. But then we were actually talking to the guy who we had a contact with who will make the protein, and he was like, oh, I've also got this thing, this warehouse and it kind of popped off during COVID, and now we have a bunch of different brands that we just send out the product for them. And my dad straight away was like, yeah, you do that. He was like, I think you need to do that. And just because, like, yeah, we don't really have time. Like, Andrew has a full-time business himself. Like, we can't be in the garage really packing protein. We just don't have – I mean, we could make the time if we wanted to, but – it just makes life a lot easier. And even just then I went and dropped off the spoons, and then they organize it all and they send it out.
Wicked.
Which is really ideal because it means we can go somewhere and come back and not have to stress about that side of it.
And orders are just going out the door, so you've got to create content and create the awareness of the products.
Which is I notice, well, I don't think about it that much because I'm doing it all the time. I'm constantly posting things, but Andrew's really good at noticing. He's like, oh, we had heaps of orders today. And I was like, oh, it's because this reel's going viral and I talk about the protein. So it definitely goes hand in hand with posting and what does well and kind of why it makes sense when you have a product, I think, which I didn't really think about until now. I was just like, cool, views. Like, I didn't really put two and two together. That
it turns into sales.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. Outstanding. Okay. What stage did you get an agent involved? Like, how many inquiries and like what was happening for you to go, you know what, I might get someone to.
It actually wasn't that long ago.
Okay.
Maybe a year ago. Yeah. And I was just like, I feel like I should probably do this because I just didn't know how much to sell myself, or like I didn't know at all, and I still think people don't know at all because it's such a wide variety, and it's different in America and it's different in the UK, and it's like people pay a lot more in the UK. We were living in London for the last 2 years and people do pay a lot more for influencer work over there. So it's so tricky to know like how much, and then I don't want to scare anyone off by saying, because most of the time I just want to work with cool brands. I'm like, and if I use the product, I'm like, I love this, so I will share it. Don't even pay me. I just want to use it. Or like things, even like when we were traveling, I got a couple like hotel things and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So like, yeah, I really just want to work with cool brands, and I just feel bad, which is, I shouldn't, this is not good. I feel bad charging people when Andrew's like, that's not how it works. Like, that you're worth this much. This is how much your views you're getting, how much people are interacting. So you should do that. And so I was just really bad at being like, oh, just send it to me. Like, I'll do something. And then, it's really good to have someone to be like, no, this is what she is worth and that type of thing. Awesome. And just deals with logistics, which I am too okay type person. So that actually wasn't that long ago. I probably should have had one sooner, but it's just recent.
I think it's something that everybody struggles with, right, is understanding their worth and whether they're negotiating a pay rise or asking to be paid for something. I was doing some content recently about a guy was saying just knocking on doors and offering to clean cars and whatnot. Someone's like, yeah, but like, how do they know what to charge? I'm like, it doesn't really matter at this stage.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good question, but just
get going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you kind of figure it out. Like, I tend to ask, like, how much do you usually charge for this? And usually I'm assuming that they'll say slightly less because that's what probably the company will do, I imagine. I don't know. So that they can try get it a bit less, and then you kind of can just go back and forth. And then through working with a few companies, you kind of get a rough idea of what people, and it's kind of different for TikTok and Instagram as well, like of what people are wanting to pay, and depends where the business is. And that I like, and new small New Zealand businesses, I'm like, just send me stuff, I'm happy to share it. But yeah, then obviously bigger companies are happy to pay more. So it's a very weird, unique type thing.
Cool thing to try and navigate and figure out as well, right?
It is. Like, it's really interesting. And the amount of times I've Googled, like, how much does someone with 330,000 followers get paid on Instagram? Like, I'm literally Googling it myself to try and figure it out. So
take us through to finish up then. What's it like, the difference between reality of being a travel blogger and then, you know, having cookbooks and all these different things that people probably perceive when they come to your Instagram, of that perception versus reality, and even back to your own thinking when you first started, of like, well, that looks pretty cool. Wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah.
You know, how would you sum that up for people?
I guess there's like pros and cons to any job. I always say, I think of people, you know, I meet some people who have really cool jobs. I'm like, what a cool job. And they're like, I mean, yeah, it is epic, but it's a job. Like, so that's probably how I, like, there's pros and cons. Sometimes I, especially moving to London, there's so many jobs in London, like a million more than I didn't even know existed. And I was like, maybe I just want to have like a normal job and just, and Andrew's like, no, you don't. Like, you wouldn't, first of all, you wouldn't last a day. You'd be like, stop telling me what to do. So I definitely like go through stages where I'm like, oh, maybe that would be better. But it is overall, I'd say, like, it's a pretty epic thing that I get to be able to do. And I'm so grateful to be able to do it. But it is a lot more hard work than I think posting on social media, it's very time consuming if you want to do it well. Like, I spend now with 4 accounts, I probably spend, even like if I've had them drafted, I still spend like 1.5 hours every morning posting. Luckily, my time, my peak time to post is about 8 a.m. So I usually like get up, go to the gym, and then I just spend like 1 hour posting on Instagram.
Is that because of the US time zone? Or?
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. I think it's maybe a mix of...
Shit, I'm doing it all wrong. I've been posting at 8 p.m.
But you can see what yours is. So you can see what's better for your... Like, you can... Most time when people are active. So, which is great. In London, it wasn't good because it was 9 p.m. and I was sitting in bed and Andrew's like, you're not going to sleep. You're going to... And I'm like, this is not good for my... And my brain's going like... Because I like to go on there and reply to people. And that's usually when I be most active because that's how... I don't know, apparently how you boost things. So I was like, okay, this is what I... But in the morning, it's quite good because I only have to spend... And then if I don't have enough time, I usually just prioritize one thing or like mix it up. But it is... And I've had friends who have just started... You know, people have started businesses and they're like, oh, it's rather time consuming. And I'm like, yeah, it just takes time. Even making the videos and then putting them together. And but then in hindsight, like, I mean, it's... I'm making food and... It's not. Yeah. I'm not like curing cancer. I'm just like, you know, I'm in my little corner. But there's people doing much harder jobs. Yeah. But
it's not as easy as what people think.
Yes,
though, right?
That's probably what I'm trying to say. It's amazing, and I'm so grateful. But it is harder than I guess I suppose it looks.
Yeah, like anything, no doubt there's hard times and there's things you probably go through. You're just like, is this actually worth it?
Yeah, and that's those times of like, maybe I just want to get like a normal thing, and I wouldn't be so invested in it. Wouldn't, because that's the thing that also gets me is I'm so invested in it because it's me.
Yeah,
and if I go like a week and sales are bad, or my reels or TikToks haven't got over a certain amount of views, or something good hasn't, I like it like defines my happiness, which I'm working on. Like, that's not healthy. That's not how I should live. That shouldn't be
a metric.
It shouldn't be the most important thing. It's not, in hindsight, you know, I'm not going to get to the end of my life and be like, wow, I'm so glad I got 1 million views on that one video. Like, it's not it's not going to be in my brain. So I'm, especially in the last few months, I'm like, right, we need to get that out, because that's just sad. It's not how I should be living my life. So that's another thing that I think I struggle with, and it's just being not letting it define my happiness. Being so invested in it.
Even with business owners that we work with, try and remind them, like, you are not your business.
You can go home and life's epic. Like look at those amazing things around you. I even think in the morning, my parents are close to the beach and I walk my dogs on the beach every morning, and I'm just like, you know, like, epic. It's not that bad. We're good. Like,
You practice like gratefulness and things
like that. Yeah, I'm quite good at that. especially in the mornings, I try to wake up and list 10 things I'm grateful for.
Wow.
It's usually the dogs, my parents, my boyfriend, the same list I go through. But it is good because it does put you into the mindset of like, no, like this is, we're fine. Like we don't need to stress about views on a thing. And
yeah. Whatever. Did it get 1 million? No, is it?
Yeah, I know. I suck. It's no.
Shouldn't be happy to that.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy that your brain can do that 10 things. Like, yeah, it just doesn't make sense. It's not how it should work.
And what advice would you have for people who want to get started on something? Whether it's, you know, they're aiming to get a few people reading or a few people watching or just something to validate that their thing that they really like, much like you had when you got going, how can they build up the courage to get going and then have that data to know, like, I should kick on with this.
And just keep going. Yeah, that's probably it, is just to keep doing it. Like, for 2 years, I...
2 years?
I mean, it was growing, but it wasn't like... I didn't, you know, go big until I was posting every single day for like a year and a half until something went actually big. So it's not going to happen overnight, which I still have to remind myself about new things I do. I'm like, actually, this took me this long to do this. So it's not going to be an overnight thing. So really just starting it, I think, and being consistent with it and realizing, well, like, make sure that it's something that you're really passionate about and that you're not going to get sick of. Because I think if I didn't love food, it would suck. I wouldn't enjoy it and then I wouldn't want to do it, which is what I've found with email marketing and like just things, uploading recipes to my app. Like, it's the things I'm not like obsessed with. That's the thing I put least amount of effort into. So definitely be passionate about whatever it is you want to start and then just annoy the hell out of people. Nice. Send 1,000 emails to people.
Yeah.
And tell them you're really cool.
Yeah. Cooler than the other people. Yeah. Go through the rejection as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's not you as a person as well that's being rejected. It's just that's something that the brand doesn't want to.
Yeah, it's literally just what you've said or in that moment they're like, no, we're not
actually,
doing
that's
that.
That's just not what we're doing.
And you've proven that in time people come back and they're like, hey, Kelsey, we actually need you now.
Yeah.
So really they weren't rejecting you. They were just like, not right now.
Save her for later. And then sometimes you'll come up in a different conversation for something. So
Nice one. Okay, and so how can people find what you're doing and keep an eye on you and even grab a cookbook or some of the protein powder?
Yeah, so just online anyway, to be honest. Healthy Kelsey and Second Nature. It's Healthy Kelsey with 2 I's on Instagram and then Healthy Kelsey on TikTok, Facebook. And then Second Nature is also with 2 D's because it was taken on Instagram. And then my websites are just Healthy Kelsey and Second Nature.
Yeah, and it's Kelsey with an I, right?
Like yes.
I
said before. So Mum decided to make that trickier to spell to people.
But if you search your name on the internet, you come up first on the website anyway, so people can then sort of see a little bit more.
And then the books in all New Zealand bookstores, so
that's cool.
You can see it when you walk in there, which is cool.
What's that feel like when you walk past Whitcalls or whatever and you're like, there I am?
I'm always like, that's me. Like, I don't think it ever gets old. And like, if my dad goes in with me, he's like, this is how you should get it. Like, he like sells it to people while I'm in there. I'm like, okay, calm down.
I feel like we need to get your dad on the pod.
I know. He'd actually be a good person to have. He's very business savvy. But he, so funny. It's I don't think I'll ever get sick about seeing that. It's pretty cool.
It must be pretty special to have a dad like that that's so supportive and encouraging, you know? Like, I think a lot of people, that's what they want in their life or someone like that. And it must be pretty cool for you.
Yeah, so special and lucky, and to have someone who just wants not only all of us to be, I got 2 brothers, us to just be happy, but to like be as hardworking and successful as we can. I think I got a pretty good, I don't know how that happened, got lucky in that department.
Awesome. All right, well, what's next for Healthy Kelsey, and any reveals on what you might have coming up?
What are we doing? Well, I've got the Bali retreat. Cool. Which is really cool. So if anyone wants to come to that, it's going to be in June, early June, I think from the 3rd of June, at Commune, which is this epic place in Bali. I actually got engaged there.
Wow.
Like, coincidentally.
Yeah. I thought it was at Hobsonville.
In Hobsonville,
At the 3PL.
We did a bit better than the 3PL.
Nice,
right.
Nice, Andrew.
And then we're coming up with some new products, which are just going to be finalized hopefully in the next couple of weeks on Second Nature. So we're going to go into different types of supplements and powders, not just protein, which is really exciting. And then, God, what else am I doing? I'm hopefully going to start writing a new book. I keep saying that, but it needs to just... I need to start.
No, then you'll do 80 pages.
Yeah, I know. I think that's how my brain works. I'm like, we need to sit down and then it will be on the move. But yeah, trying to think about what I want to do for the next one, because they take obviously a couple of years to produce. So lots of exciting cool things happening this year. Yeah.
Good on you. Well, it's been really cool to dive in to what you've been up to, and we've gone in so many different directions.
I know, I'm such like a chatter. I'm like, that's blah, good. Blah, 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 blah.
But I think the really important thing is that Kiwis get access to more people like you to be inspired to think, okay, maybe I could do that too, or maybe I could do it at this scale, or maybe I could have a crack at something. But just to see that you've chased something you're passionate about and then you keep putting action into it, you still have to go out to the world and try and get people to care about what you're doing. I'm sure the overarching piece of all of this comes back to you wanting people to live a more healthy lifestyle and be happier and healthier. And then the doors that it opens up, because people start saying, well, what about this? And you go, well, I don't know. But then you have a crack and then you figure it out as you go. And then you still have days where you're crying going, fuck, am I doing?
Legit happened on Tuesday.
You're building, you're building apps and, 25, 26, right? Mm. Yeah, pretty crazy.
I like doing these things. It makes me feel good.
That's good. So fuck the million views on video. Exactly. Go back through your journey.
So it makes me feel like talking about where I started is good. It makes me feel like I have got something to offer people when I have these conversations, which is nice.
Good on you. Well, shout out to the person who reached out and said, you need to get Healthy Kelsey on the pod.
Yeah, we need to send them the book.
Yeah, hopefully. I think they've already got it.
I actually
think it's like someone's mum and they're like, my daughter follows or something
a
like
lot
that.
Of yeah. Mums, it's funny, I have a lot of mum friends and it is mums know how to buy cookbooks.
Nice.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a really nice chat. It's gone so quickly.
Yeah, not a problem. And again, if you want to find the Travel Kitchen, the latest cookbook, then go and grab that. Where are you there on the front of that?
That's Nusa Lembongan in Bali.
Nice one.
Great place to go if anyone wants a holiday.
Wicked. And then Second Nature, if you want to find some of the protein powders and things like that. Looking forward to hearing and seeing more of your journey over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, depending on how long you keep chipping away with this. So,
I'm like 90. I'll be like, oh, the Kelsey.
Try and decrease the days of crying.
Exactly. Then we'll be going good.
Good on you. All right. Well, thank you. And we'll see you next time.